streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, it's a Tuesday, closer to the draft, a remarkable round one NBA playoff night. It's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. Nick Wright today, LSU football coach Brian Kelly stops by today. J-Mac, that was an all-timer. Knicks at home with the Madison Square Garden crowd seemingly on the floor. As the players were on the floor late, that was an all-time ending. And then the Lakers-Nuggets, I said yesterday on the show, Lakers lose in overtime. It was almost that. Lakers' season was on the line, but those were two great playoff games. Great.
I was exhausted. I had to go out and have a cigarette after that. I had the first cigarette in like 25 years. I mean, it was just an amazing night of sports, Colin.
So the Lakers this morning and last night, they want to blame the refs. They want to blame the replay system. Okay? Not the LeBron James 16 seconds left, missed wide open three. Nah, that wasn't it. Or the fact that Anthony Davis had no points in the fourth quarter. Darvin Ham couldn't dial up a play, or the fact that once again, a Lakers starter gave you a nothing burger. Rui, 3 points. Not that in the last 10 minutes, the Lakers went away from the pick and roll with AD and LeBron. I think LeBron just gets tired. We know the Lakers don't have the talent or the versatility of Denver. Last night's a great example. Jokic did not play well in the first half. Murray was awful in the first three quarters. But because of their surrounding talent, they can keep it close and make runs. These teams have played 10 straight times. The games all look the same. They're all close. We've said all year, Lakers aren't going to beat them, but they match up with them well. The difference is, though, last night, last 9 possessions for Denver, they scored on 8 of them. Why? Because LeBron and AD in both games have had to overcome a starter that gave you nothing. D'Lo was awful in game 1 and Rui was awful in game 2. Jamal Murray wasn't good last night in the first 3 quarters, but he was remarkable in the fourth. Jokic had a rare bad half, but he was money in the second half. Denver always wins this game because Denver, their two stars, can have a bad quarter, can have a bad half. They don't have to be gassed. Jokic just lets the game come to him. He doesn't press when things are going awry. He's got Gordon and Porter and KCP. He doesn't have to press. If LeBron doesn't get D'Lo help, he's got to empty the tank. If AD doesn't get Rui help, he's got to empty the tank. And so, last night, Jokic and Murray didn't do anything in the first half. But in the last 9 possessions, Denver scored in 8. And those are the crunch time numbers. That's the best defense you'll face. That's the most pressure you'll face. And this is what championship teams like Denver deliver. It's not just that they have the best player in the world, because LeBron and AD aren't far behind. It's the ability for their star teammates, who often have bad halves, to still be brilliant like Jamal Murray when you need him deliver. And in that fourth quarter, whereas D'Lo was bad the entire game one, and Rui was awful last night the entire game, Jamal Murray, as a star, and 3 bad quarters later, came in and sealed the game with this.
Murray makes a move.
Now, they're going to go back to L.A. The games will be close. The Lakers will empty the tank. But this has been the most predictable series of all of them. The Lakers match up well. The Lakers have 2 stars, but LeBron and AD are always have to overcome a weak bench, sometimes regrettable substitution patterns by Darvin Ham, and by the end of the game, what's AD have left? Not much offensively, and here was AD when asked about Murray's game winner.
Can you take us through that last play, just what happened, what unfolded, what was, I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Yeah, that sums it up. Jamal Murray hit a shot. Okay, what is the constant been in Philadelphia for 8 years? They've had multiple GMs. Nick Nurse is Embiid's 3rd coach. We had the trial balloon with Ben Simmons, James Harden. Now it's Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, draft picks, the process. The constant is Embiid. And superstars, that's what he's been labeled. He's a superstar. I don't know. I've got a higher standard. To be a superstar in the NBA, you have to, you know, once win a second-round playoff series in the much, much weaker Eastern Conference. I don't know, just one time. GMs, coaches, teammates, stars, Simmons, Harden. Now he's got Maxey. And these Knicks, though gutty, are hardly the Shaq Kobe Lakers. They're doing it on guile, moxie, toughness. They want it more. They care more. That last sequence for the Knicks, it was all desire and effort. I mean, Embiid, first 2 games, no rebounds in the fourth quarter. Through 2 games. Is Ewing on the floor? What am I missing? No rebounds. Rebounds is an effort stat. Dennis Rodman wasn't skilled. Ben Wallace wasn't a world-class basketball. It's effort. Rebounds are effort. Embiid, 7-2, superstar. Did Shaq ever have 2 games with no rebounds in the fourth quarter through 2? I don't think so. Did Akeem? He has the talent. He doesn't shrink. He has the size. He lacks effort. If you go look at Joel Embiid's playoff career, his numbers plummet in the fourth. His plus minus, his field goals, his rebound, everything goes down. That's effort. I understand bigs get tired, bigs get beat up. I get that. But when Tyrese Maxey, with 109 left, hit a 3, the score was 196 Philadelphia. In fact, the Knicks' next 2 possessions, they didn't get a field goal. It was their game. Now, Kyle Lowry missed a free throw. That was big. And Jalen Brunson got a bit of a break on that bounce on the 3, absolutely. But in the NBA, you're a superstar if you win in April, May, and June, and you have a big personality. Kawhi doesn't, Jokic doesn't, they're stars. But you're a superstar if you win in April, May, and June, and you have a big personality. And Embiid's got plenty of personality. But I waited through Trust the Process and Ben Simmons and James Harden and now Tyrese Maxey and multiple coaches and Nick Nurse is the 3rd and multiple GMs and draft picks and moving. And I get the same thing. Big games in the East, in the playoffs, late. Where's Embiid? I just didn't see the effort. I watched that last sequence by the Knicks. They were done. It was over. Maxey hits a 3 next 2 times down. Under a minute, they don't get a field goal. It's over. And then it became rugby on the floor. Did you have any doubt when that ball went on the floor, the Knicks would come up with it? Was there any doubt for a second who was going to come up with the basketball? Even DiVincenzo's second three, it was about effort. Nobody blocked out the Knicks. So here's Joel Embiid on that crazy final sequence.
Everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself including Nico, coach on the sideline. But they didn't give it to us. But, you know, forget about the timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. You know, that's, yeah, like I said, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I keep hearing the Sixers last night and this morning complain about there was no timeout. You know what I saw? Nobody blocking out. No effort. That last night was all about desire. That game was over. Knicks were cooked. 196, didn't score in their next two possessions. Game was over. It's over. Embiid, no rebounds. First two games in the series, fourth quarter. I mean, that was all effort, all desire. These Knicks, Jalen Brunson is not playing well. Julius Randle isn't available, and they're beating two stars in this league, one that has been labeled a superstar. I don't want to hear about timeouts. I don't want to hear about time. I don't want to hear about you miss this, you miss that. I miss the effort. Where is it? It is all on the Knicks. You can watch a sporting event. You don't see this a lot in hockey. You don't see a lot in baseball. But you do see in the NBA some load management, teams wanting it more, more physicality. That was an effort win. It wasn't a talent win. Don't give me talent. DiVincenzo's bounced around the league. It's not a talent thing. That was an effort thing. J-Mac, that was so much fun last night. Some nights I just know I'm going to stay home. I'm going to order out, and I'm going to stay home. And sometimes it's work. Sometimes I don't necessarily want to watch a Thursday night football game on Amazon. Carolina Panthers involved. It's work. Last night was not work. Last night is why we do this job. Sitting home, watching those games, having a blast.
I mean, the Knicks game came out of nowhere. I thought they were cooked. You know, down five with 30 seconds.
Philly outplayed them for three quarters. Philadelphia for two and a half quarters was a bet.
I mean, Brunson looked gassed. Brunson's not having a great start to the series.
Well, that's because they've relied on him so much.
Too much, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Brunson is, to a large degree, he's lost his legs.
I think he's shooting 29% through two games. Like, that's not sustainable.
Almost predictable.
I thought the series was over.
Yeah.
When the Knicks were down five, I'm like, I don't know how you go to Philly and steal one with no offense, but the Lakers win, Colin. I don't know that I've been that gutted from a loss in sports since maybe the Jets in the AFC Championship game way back when against the Steelers with Sanchez at quarterback. That's how long it's been. 20-point lead, 10 in the fourth quarter.
You got to remember, the 20-point lead was like 68-48. You can build – people will say this. Well, Michael Jordan never lost 20-point leads. The three-point shot.
Totally different. Fine. It's 10-point lead to open the fourth, Colin.
That 10-point lead to open the fourth is a couple bad possessions, and they hit two threes, and you're down to four.
Timeout. It's not a couple bad possessions. Darvinham totally botched the rotations. You can't start the fourth up 10 on the road, season on the line, with Dinwiddie, Jackson Hayes, and Torian Prince on the court. You cannot do it. I text a bunch of Laker fans. They were, all caps. Darvinham, what are you doing? But again, they had the game. Like Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray's him. He is him. I mean, that shot over AD, I was speechless.
I'll say this, though. AD, the fact that he didn't get top three in voting for Defensive Player of the Year, I would have voted him number one. Jokic has very few bad halves. Jokic was irrelevant in the first half. AD and Jokic in the first half. AD may have played the best half of basketball in a year by a big man.
But wouldn't you rather have a better second half than a first half?
I would. But when Rui doesn't show up and it takes a while for teammates. Now, D'Lo in the first half was money, but Anthony Davis is having to kind of.
He emptied the tank in the first half. Fourth quarter, that's when he shoots his one three-pointer from the corner. AD, what are you doing? Take him downtown. Take him inside. AD, 0 points in the fourth, Colin. That was an Embiid-like disappearing act.
I'll almost give LeBron and AD a little bit of a break in the fourth because they're gassed because they have to carry the team. Yeah. Jokic had a bad first half. He wasn't gassed because he has people to pick up for him. Gordon and Porter and KCP and eventually Murray.
Well, Reeves chased around Murray. He had nothing. Rui guarding Jokic did a good job first half, right? But one of seven offense. It's just the Nuggets are good, man.
They are.
It's a great team.
By the way, 45 minutes from now, we're going to take all the potential first-round quarterbacks and play the high-low game. What is their high comp? What if it doesn't work? What is their low comp? It's a lot of fun. You know, you put yourself out there. It's one of my favorite segments of the year. We do it once. We take the quarterbacks. We play high-low. At the best, what is Michael Penix? At the worst, what is Penix? We'll play the high-low game in 45 minutes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
All right, welcome back. More on the Lakers loss. Top of next hour, 40 minutes away. Our game of high-low. We take all these first-round quarterbacks. At best, who are they? At worst, what does it become? So yesterday, during the show, the Jets traded Zach Wilson. It was a miss. Number two pick. Didn't like him coming out of college. COVID quarterback, didn't buy it. Jets loved him, miss. So they got a six-rounder for him. So here's the thing to think about. There's a message in all of this. My wife always says, you're right in life or you're learning. You don't have to be wrong, just learn from it. If you make the same mistake over and over, then you're right and you're wrong. But if you make mistakes but you learn from them, you're right in life and then you're learning. So the Jets only got a six-round pick for Zach Wilson. Whew. Justin Fields Bears, 3 years of starting, only got a sixth round pick. Lots of losses and a sixth round pick for Justin Fields. The 15th pick, Mac Jones, lot of starts, only got a sixth round pick. How in the world is it, though, that Trey Lance, who barely played and has less wins and talent than all of them, arguably, got a fourth round pick? How is that possible? Because San Francisco didn't get into their ego, their pride. They weren't stubborn. They moved off him quicker, letting the marketplace see less of him. The Niners, because they have a brilliant offensive coach, made a lot of their evaluation at practice. And they realized very early, I was told, he struggles with accuracy. You can't in this league. Teams get into their ego. Men, as a general rule, do this. They don't want to be wrong, so they double down on it, trying to prove they're right. As we say on this show, get it right. Don't worry about being right. We're all wrong all the time. San Francisco, with a less talented quarterback, got actually a fourth-round pick back. Fourth-round picks are good picks. A lot of starters in this league that are fourth-round picks. You get into the sixth and the seventh round, a lot of special teams guys, low ceiling backups. And yet the Niners, who have missed on plenty of picks, just said, hey, we see it doesn't work. Brock Purdy's better in practice. We're moving on. The seventh round guy is better than the first round guy we gave up picks for. Too many general managers in this league and coaches are trying to protect their genius, protect their picks. I mean, the New York Giants, that Even worse than that, they doubled down on Daniel Jones, which was a reach as a pick, and then they paid him a small fortune. That's unforgivable. That gets you fired. If the guys in New York get fired, I mean, you got to push back on that. You got to go to the owner and say, I'm not signing him. We'll keep Saquon Barkley. I'm not signing him to that deal. But this is a great example and a life message. Don't double down on wrong to prove you're right. Get out of it. By Thanksgiving of the second year, everybody in the league knows. If not for film during the games, film at practice. You film all the practices. You have camps. You have exhibitions. You have games against other teams that don't get televised. You have exhibition games. If you can't tell if your quarterback's a guy by Thanksgiving of the second year, get out of the league. Go sell cars. Do something else. You can't do it. It doesn't take that long to figure it out. And so the Niners, they draft Brock Purdy, and they're like, yeah. I mean, we already heard the story. Kyle goes to the owner. He's better. Move off him. Salvage the pick. Don't double down on stubborn. Stop being trying to be right. Get it right. Purdy's better than Trey. Move him. Maybe Trey gets a second chance. But isn't it interesting that the quarterback that has the fewest wins, the less time, I mean, appears to be somebody that really is, at this point, not going to be a starter at all, doesn't have a big win of note. They got more for him, a legitimate pick. Here was Tom Pelissero yesterday breaking the Zach Wilson trade on our show.
Jets have just traded Zach Wilson to the Broncos. They are going to send a 2024 sixth-round pick for Wilson and a 2024 seventh-rounder. Teams are going to divide up his bonus. You get him for virtually nothing in terms of a late-round pick swap. The Jets are paying, I don't know the exact numbers, but they're paying a significant amount of his training camp roster bonus too. So this is a low-risk flyer on a guy who a few years ago, I mean, I had many coaches make the case to me that Zach Wilson's tape was better than Trevor Lawrence's. If anybody can get the most out of Zach Wilson, it's going to be Sean Payton.
How about that? How about that? J-Mac, a great lesson. It's about getting it right, not being right. Niners weren't stubborn, got more for less. J-Mac with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
There's probably also an element of job security there, right? Like, the 49ers brass, they're not going anywhere. Hey, we screwed up the Trey Lance pick. Nah, no big deal, guys. We're winning games. It's fine. Jets, Joe Douglas, well, don't want to admit I screwed up with Zach Wilson. Probably a little more reluctant to deal him, right?
Yeah,
like job
certainly.
Security. Let's be real. People are afraid. They want to keep their jobs. They don't want to try new stuff.
Well, I mean, general managers often don't get a second chance. Good coaches do. I mean, Dave Ball would get a second run, but GMs don't. So it's, Trey Lance basically from when Kyle Shanahan says, yeah, I can't save him. What does that tell you? Kyle Shanahan made Matt Schaub a Pro Bowler, Matt Ryan an MVP. Brock Purdy, a fledgling star in the league. Kyle's like a dealer in Vegas. I'm out.
Yeah.
And they got a fourth for him.
Yeah.
Because they didn't let you see. They made evaluations in practice.
I wonder how Dallas Cowboys fans feel that they paid the most for Trey Lance.
Well, I mean, there's talent there. There's definitely talent. That's not it. But the key is he barely played in San Francisco and they got a four. And Shanahan's offensive history would lead you to believe he just bailed.
I don't know. You say he's got talent. Really? I mean, is Trey Lance going to make 10 more starts in his NFL career?
I don't know. I don't know.
If he had talent, he probably would. Yeah. All right, let's get started with the Kansas City Chiefs. Three Super Bowl wins in the last five seasons, and now Andy Reid is sticking around until 2029. He got a new contract extension. Chiefs have not announced the terms of the deal, but he reportedly is going to be the highest paid coach in the NFL. The Chiefs have also extended team president Mark Donovan and GM Brett Veach. Kansas City Chiefs fans keeping the band back together.
As they should.
A couple more Super Bowl runs in them, probably.
As they should.
So much for Reid walking away, huh?
Well,
could have gone out on top.
Well, they're still on top. Belichick, you could argue, after Brady, could have given it a year and made Mac Jones a Pro Bowler, split, and said, hey, I didn't stay around, but I made Mac Jones a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I think there's the Belichick-Brady is more of, I'm going to prove I can do it without Tom. I don't know. There's nothing to prove here.
No, so pride again gets in the way.
Well, yeah, right? Who would it be pride you talk about on the show for years? Who was more important, Belichick or Brady? That's a normal conversation. I'm not surprised Belichick wanted to stick around. Are you?
No, I understand, but he was 70, and Tom did win a Super Bowl somewhere else. You could have sucked it up and said...
That certainly hurts.
This isn't a great look. I think I'm going to exit stage right. I mean, at practice, if you were watching at practice and you watched Mac Jones and you had Tom, did you look and evaluate and say, yeah, that's not Tom? We got ourselves a guy.
In year one, Mac Jones was kind of good.
But he was kind of bratty, and he wouldn't take to hard coaching, and it turned off teammates. The opposite of Tom. So if you evaluate and practice based on personality, what you see, could you have not said, this ain't gonna work?
This might be a whole new generation of non-Tom Brady type quarterbacks. Hard coaching.
Well, I see with the transfer portal. When I see these young quarterbacks, I think they want to be coached. I think the young athletes are great. I think they want to be coached. I think all great athletes my entire life want to be coached hard. There's a lot of posers out there you think are great and they're not. But every great athlete, you don't think those Alabama... When you go to Alabama, Georgia, you think you're going to be soft coached? When you go to Harbaugh, you think he's going to soft coach? The hardest coaches, Tom Izzo, coaches the hell out of you. Mike Krzyzewski did. These kids want to be... Bill Self is no day at the park. These guys coach hard. Dan Hurley in Connecticut. Like, that's a serious, intense program, and they get great players.
Yeah, the whole, coached hard thing. Okay, so... If they want to be coached hard, why is any quarterback transferring if they're not playing after 1 year?
Well, because they're not playing.
Yeah.
There's a difference between not sitting on the bench and being coached hard.
Well, Tom Brady sat on the bench, was coached hard. He was seventh on the depth chart and slowly
went through. Was a different time.
Fine,
certainly.
He gets to New England.
Right.
And he's third string. And, Belichick.
Well, you're not going to retire in the NFL. You can argue Brady would have transferred in college. That's certainly a fair argument. But I will push back as most kids transferring now are just not getting to play. And they're saying, I got to get snaps to get to the NFL. I totally get that. But I think overwhelming, I don't buy this that the new athletes don't want to be coached hard. They don't care. I think they care more than anybody. I think they take care of their bodies better than old athletes. LeBron takes care of his body way better than Jordan.
Agree. But that's different than coached hard. All right. Andy Reid doesn't coach hard.
Andy's one of the last guys that used pads. Andy coaches super hard. Andy's a barker and a yeller and not mean, but Andy is high volume.
Ooh, so give me the coach hard guys. Is McVay a coached hard guy?
McVay's intense. I don't know if he's coaching hard. I would say Shanahan doesn't screw around. You're gonna hit it practice. Andy Reid coaches hard. Andy coaches hard. But he's respected by the players because they want to be coached hard. Yeah. I think who else coaches hard?
So I when you say coach
all the college
hard,
guy, all the great college coaches coach
well,
hard.
Well, you can ask Brian Kelly.
Dan Hurley at UConn.
Coach hard, I think of Belichick undressing Brady in the film room every week, is what the story we heard. That to me is coached hard.
That almost felt, if you listen to Patriot players, that almost got personal and petty. That's not coaching hard. That's just being difficult because Tom doesn't want to do everything you say.
Well, it's also telling everybody, listen, I know he's the golden boy, but I'm going to come down hard on him. You know how I'm going to come down on you. You're not the golden boy. To me, that's coaching hard. The pad stuff, eh. But
Andy Reid is not... Andy Reid is...
You think Andy Reid's destroying Patrick Mahomes in the film room?
I think Andy... I know this because I know people in the building. Andy is one of the old school guys. And I say that affectionately. Lovingly is that Andy's not going to... No nonsense with Andy. If you can't get it right, they move off you fast. Mm-hmm. By the way, Brett Veach signs guys willing to be coached. Part of the whole Kansas City story here, part of their DNA is they draft guys that can be coached hard because they're going to be coached hard.
Well, he's going to be around for a while. Next up is Caleb Williams. He's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. We won't even mention the odds. They're so astronomical. Expectations are very high. Caleb is setting things even higher, saying he wants to chase the legacy and longevity Tom Brady had in New England.
Now that I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy, number 12, I want a place that loves ball. You know, that's all I've heard about Chicago so far, which is exciting for me because LA was great, but there is probably double digits of teams here. And so, it's a lot of, it's a big pool of, so you have to be winning championships. You have to be playoffs every year to have, the fans and things like that show up. And so, one thing you know, if it was Chicago's a place that I've heard that they love ball, which is really exciting for me. It's something that I'm looking forward to and embracing.
Very excited. Looks like a franchise quarterback. Sounds like it. Yeah, I get the attitude I want.
I don't know. What else is he supposed to say there? Like, I think I want to bounce around.
You know what? But like, there is value in saying the right stuff.
Yeah, he said the right stuff.
A lot of guys get to that podium, get a little squirrely. Not him.
Said the right thing. Final story is John Lynch had his annual pre-draft news conference yesterday, and one of the big questions was about Brandon Ayuk's contract situation. Speaking of saying the right thing, John Lynch dispelled all the rumors about a potential trade. Here he is.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess we botched the audio. But anyway, he said, I've communicated on many occasions our wish is that he's here and part of the Niners for the rest of his career. We're working through that. I can say we're having good talks, 49ers and Ayuk, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
I'm for the record, this stuff's not easy. This is not easy stuff. I think it's a perfect time to move him. I think they'll still consider it. But Ayuk's gone public with it. He's gone to Instagram with it. He's talked about it, which adds some contentious nature to the talk. So it's not. This isn't easy. I still contend that there's so many receivers in these drafts. You can get a first or a couple seconds for Ayuk. I would consider moving him. With Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey, I think you have to consider. Jennings, by the way, can be productive as well. I think he's a great player. But star wide receivers, the history is they can wear people out over time. And as good as Ayuk is, now they may make an argument. I think if Purdy was Josh Allen or Lamar or Mahomes, was a better quarterback, was Stafford, they'd move off Ayuk. I think the feeling is they've got to protect Purdy with as many weapons as they have because Detroit's coming, Green Bay's coming, you know, the Rams are coming. So I think if you had a quarterback who they felt was a top five level talent, you could move off Ayuk and be fine with the weapons you have. But I do think with Purdy, there's a sense that, hey, listen, he's not going to make up a lot of ground if he's going toe-to-toe with Matt Stafford in the playoffs or Jordan Love in the playoffs or Jared Goff in the playoffs or a Super Bowl against Mahomes, Allen, Lamar. So I think part of it is they don't want to move him just because of who the current quarterback is.
Okay, so how's this trade? I'm just spitballing here. Carolina Panthers call up the Niners.
No, I would do it. They need a player so bad. They need
Carolina has the 33rd overall pick, not a first-rounder. And we'll give you a 2025 third. So a second and a third. Now, the second round pick this year is number 33 overall. That's almost basically a first. Would you do that for Ayuk? So now you're giving...
If I'm Carolina and I have to figure out by Thanksgiving if my quarterback can play, absolutely.
So you have Deontay Johnson, who you got from Pittsburgh, and Ayuk.
Yeah, I have to figure out if Bryce Young can play. You can't just get me Deontay Johnson. So for Carolina, I would make that move in a second. In a second.
Now, the Niners fans are surely going to say, we want a first, you know. But the 33rd pick overall and another pick
next
year, that's not bad.
You have to pay Ayuk. So it's not that he's not...
So what? You get the quarterback on the rookie deal.
You still have to pay him. If I have to pay and give you a first, that works in my favor if I'm Carolina. I'm like, it'd be one thing if I got him for free for 2 years first. But I already have to pay him like a superstar and give you a first. So that works in Carolina's advantage. That's a big part of negotiation. You give me a pick, but do I already have to pay the pick? So it doesn't matter if I'm paying Bryce Young or not. You're going to be paying your wide receiver top of the market money. So to me, Carolina's mission until Thanksgiving, this is their entire mission as a franchise. Can Bryce Young play? Well, you don't know if you have one number two receiver. Maybe a one, probably a two. Now you give me Ayuk and Deontay Johnson. I have a star one and a great two.
Yeah, and
I know I'll discover by Thanksgiving. We got to draft another quarterback, but we got the dude.
Worst case scenario, if it goes sideways again for Carolina, you're drafting top five, right?
Yeah.
What's the big deal? I think we just made a trade happen. John Lynch, give me credit when you pull the trigger on
JNC that. Consulting delivers. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
The United Football League continues in primetime as Birmingham battles Houston or San Antonio takes on Arlington. It all kicks off Saturday at 7 Eastern on Fox. Check local listings for the game in your area.
So the Lakers are very upset with the officiating last night, especially at the end of the third quarter. Third quarter, when D'Angelo Russell, leading by 10, 39 seconds left, got fouled apparently. They went to the replay center, and they kind of reversed it. They called it marginal contact. And that's a term now that's being used, marginal contact. Darvin Ham could have used that marginal contact by LeBron with 57 seconds left. He didn't. LeBron foul, it was marginal contact. Why didn't he use the replay? Adjust. The theme of the playoffs, fewer whistles. Let the guys play. In fact, playoff scoring, and it's a small sample size, playoff scoring is down 10 points a game. The referees have decided, baseball decided this. We're going to make it a better TV product. We're going to make the bases bigger, more stolen bases. We're going to speed the game up. Put a pitch clock on it. Baseball did this. It's a TV show. The ratings are in the tank. Attendance is dwindling 7 to 8 years in a row. So baseball's like, it's a television product. That's where all the money comes from. We're going to make it a better TV product. By the way, what happened? Attendance up, ratings up. So the NBA has said fewer whistles. And by the way, if you've listened to this show for 20, 25 years or a year, you know the NBA playoffs, as the audience swells, nobody watches the regular season, as the audience swells in the postseason, they swallow the whistle. It's why veteran teams tend to win in the playoffs. Because they're bigger, stronger athletes who have been in the NBA weight room for 7 or 8 years, NBA nutrition for 7 or 8 years, and they push the kids around. It's why I think Oklahoma City's going to be great, but they're not going to win this year because they're just kids. They get bigger and stronger and, you know, we'll be able to marginalize refs and kind of manipulate the games as they get older. So anyway, marginal contact is a thing, and it's the right thing. This idea that the NBA's out to get the Lakers. Yeah, the NBA, Adam Silver's there. Listen, let's get rid of Steph and LeBron in the playoffs. And while we're at it, Embiid out of here, Luka, KD, they could leave too. What I want is Minnesota, Denver, and Oklahoma City. That's who I want on television in May and June. NBA's rigged, guy, you're a moron and always have been. They don't want Steph and LeBron out of the playoffs. It's marginal contact. And when you looked at the D'Angelo Russell play, I get the argument. Now, LeBron was not having any of it.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Knicks game too. What are we doing?
Okay, you could call a foul every time LeBron drives to the basket. Same with Luka. Do you want a 4-hour game? I don't. Do you want a game with nothing but free throws? Like the Pacers-Knicks games they used to romanticize in 30 for 30s that were 72-68? No. You want a fast-paced game, fewer whistles, physicality. By the way, UConn won the national title in basketball, college basketball. Why? Because they're the most physical team. The refs let the players, the physical players, win. And that's what's going to happen in the NBA. Physicality is going to win. Big, strong, physical players. And they swallow the whistle. You could call a foul. I remember when I covered Shaq and he and Sabonis were playing. It's the best playoff series I've ever watched in person. 7-gamer, Lakers and Kobe beat Sabonis. I remember in Portland after a game going into the locker room and Sabonis, who was a huge guy, like Jokic side, had blood marks all over his chest from facing Shaq. I mean, he was literally bleeding. And he didn't foul out, and Shaq didn't foul out. They let him play. You could have called a foul every time Shaq touched the ball. You could call it every time Luka touches the ball, every time LeBron touches the ball, every time AD touches the ball. These are television shows. At some point, you want pace of play. And so, you know, I know Laker fans are all freaking out, but the NBA did not want Zion to end in New Orleans. They wanted him to end up in New York. They didn't want Wemby in San Antonio. They would have loved him in L.A., right? So that, and the NBA is not rooting for D.C., Atlanta, Detroit, and big markets to stink most of the last 20 years. And New York, by the way, until this year. So this is just, they're calling it marginal contact, where there's contact, but does it affect dramatically the play? And I've always said the NBA is the hardest sport to officiate. Every call is pass interference. What is the one call in football that we argue over? Pass interference. Because if you go watch, I mean, Bill Belichick historically used to have his team wear white gloves when they wore the white uniforms, so the gloves of the Patriots blended into the uniforms and referees couldn't see all the grabbing. So every corner in the NFL grabs. That's just what you do. You grab, you push, you pull. So there's a very fine line between pass interference and let them play. Well, that's every NBA foul. These are the world's best athletes. LeBron can be fouled every time he goes to the basket. And by the way, Magic Johnson and LeBron, I mean, Magic complained about every play. Luka complains about every play. And they probably are fouled. The only way to stop Magic, who was a 6'8" point guard, was to physicality and foul him. He was so much bigger than all the guards. So Magic used to say, I'm getting fouled every play. He probably was. But you can't have a 4.5-hour game. That you can't do that. These are all the revenue now comes from television. Or eventually streaming, Amazon, Apple. That's where all the money comes from. I've always said this about CBS and March Madness. I'm paying you $4 billion. I can't decide the seeding chart. You can pick the teams who get in, but if I want in the second round UCLA facing Arizona or Gonzaga against Arizona in the second round, I'm paying for the wedding. I can't have a couple things in the seeding chart. If I'm paying for the wedding, I'm not going to have the crazy uncle next to the crazy mother-in-law. I want the wedding to work. So again, I know all you do-gooders and you idealists, all the money in the NBA is coming from television. They want to create, and by the way, when the ratings are plummeting and going down, Adam Silver smartly said at the All-Star break, let's call fewer fouls, pace of play goes, well, what do you know? The play-in game ratings were very good. I guarantee you last night's ratings were very good. That's what commissioners have to do. It's not a ball. I know a lot of you old-time baseball people. I like six-hour games. Yeah, because you don't have a life. You have nothing to do. The rest of us have kids and jobs and things. So we can't sit around watching six-hour baseball games. So baseball puts in a shot clock, pitch clock. It immediately, ratings up 10%. Attendance up 10%. You could actually watch a Dodger game now, and it goes 2 hours and 25 minutes. If you get good starting pitching, it flies by. My entire night isn't sitting in front of a television. I can watch it at 7:30 by 9:30, watch something else, go to bed, do what I want. So it's this marginal contact thing. It's up to Darvin Ham to challenge it. Mike Malone's challenging it. Darvin Ham's got to challenge it. You got to pivot off this stuff. You got a new sport, new sensibility, new rules. The NBA, to its credit, has said we're trying to speed up the pace of play. We don't want to sit at the free throw line. Those games last night, you know what the result of that's been? Those games were unbelievable. You could have called multiple fouls at the end of the Knicks game. They didn't. I mean, the Knicks are banging and it's scrum and it's rugby and the ball's on the floor. Refs just step back and let them play. These are pro athletes. Let them play. And the Knicks wanted it more. And the Knicks came out of that scrum with a ball. And they got two threes. And Embiid lacked effort and didn't block out. And the Knicks earned that win on effort. You could have called fouls on that stuff on the floor. That doesn't make good sports. Good sports is athletes competing, banging into each other, physicality. Basketball's great with physicality. Didn't we love the Bad Boy Pistons? Well, we didn't love the aesthetic. We didn't love that they were pretty. We loved the fact they were tough. They were tackle rambus. It made for great sports. Physical, tough, banging on the floor. Swallow the whistle, marginal contact. I'm great with it. Last thing I want to watch is free throws.
It's like 49ers fans saying, hey, in the Super Bowl, how many holding flags on the Chiefs? There's holding on every play. You could call a lot of contact.
They should eliminate off-ball holding. If there's a run left, you can't call the right tackle on holding.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.